Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
And a lot of great things are happening and in the future. Please avail yourself to it. Remember, family Christmas next weekend. This morning, we're concluding our four-week series, including when Marilyn Hickey was here 5 weeks, on the subject of faith. Now faith is. What does it mean to walk in faith toward God? Today we're going to talk about what it means to have faith to receive from God. How many of you are glad we serve a God that's ever present in our life? Amen? He's alive, He's present, and he has a good will toward you and toward me. Faith, remember, is simply what you believe by definition. Faith is, by definition, what has persuaded your heart. What you are so persuaded toward that you act. It is the beliefs that you have that govern your life. Now, I submit this to you. Everybody has faith. Some people have faith in God. Whatever is governing your life, whatever principles, whatever you believe in your heart that you act upon, that you pursue, that's what you have faith in. The Scripture tells us, commands us, to have faith in God. To be so persuaded in who He is that it governs what we think. It governs what we do. It governs how we act. That's what the life of faith is about. One of the aspects of the life of faith, this isn't the only area, but it's an important area, is that you receive from God by faith. But it's real important when you talk about receiving something from God that you first define who God is. If not, it messes people up. Because all they end up doing is focusing on themselves, and they'll end up disqualifying themselves from receiving from God. Let me explain. God's grace and God's mercy and God's goodness and God's favor and His kindness. How many of you know we serve a good God? The goodness of God demands a response from people. And that response is defined in the Bible. That response that God demands is called faith. The goodness and the mercy and the kindness of God. Anything, now listen to this, guys, anything we obtain from the hand of God, we receive by grace through faith. Everybody say, by grace,
by grace.
Through faith. Now why is that important? Because grace means you don't deserve this. Grace means you never earn this. Everybody say, earn it. You don't get to earn anything from God, ever. Because you see, faith is only active toward God when what you're receiving you did not earn. It is undeserved. What happens when you take grace out of the faith equation is that you will start to measure yourself instead of measure what Jesus did for you. Instead of magnifying Jesus, you'll magnify you. You'll say things like this when you go to believe God or pray and to receive. Well, I need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. And all the good things that we need to do as Christians. Never equate those with receiving by faith, because when you do, you have ceased to receive by faith through the grace of God, but now you're receiving by faith through your own works. And can I tell you this? You'll never ever fill that cup up. How many of you have ever said, I need to read my Bible more? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you do. How many of you need to pray more? If you didn't raise your hand, you do. How many of you think you need to give more, serve more, love more, be a better husband, a better wife, a better parent? You miserable yet? There's always more. And when you receive by you instead of by Jesus and the grace of God, I promise you, you'll find yourself wanting. Or God help you, you'll get on a treadmill and say, well, I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do this, and I'll do step one, and step two, and step three, and step four, and step five, step six. But by the time you get to step six, step one got out of line, so you go back to step one. Step seven, you forgot, but you went and you got your memory 7 verse in. Now you're up to 9. What was 2 again, and 3? And before long, you're like, I give up. Because if you make it about you, you'll never receive from God. Faith receives God's purchase, what Christ purchased in redemption is what faith receives. Faith operates in the past tense. Faith can only operate where the will of God has been established. Here's how most people pray. They have a problem, Here's how it works in our mind. And religion has reinforced this. Not the Bible, but religion. I go to God, and God makes a determination at that moment whether he's going to answer my prayer or not. I've heard this said many, many times. It is completely unscriptural, completely unbiblical, but it sounds good religiously. God always answers prayer, sometimes yes, and sometimes no. Nonsense. That is not in the Bible. That is a religious expression to help you live in unbelief. God's promises, the Bible said, in Christ Jesus are yes, and they are amen for you. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. You say, but wait a minute. You mean they're all available to me? Yeah, they're all available to you. It's a past tense issue with God. Jesus has already died, already paid the price. Until you've established the will of God, you can't even pray in faith. You can't even pray believing because you don't know the will of God. So we end up praying things like this, Lord, I turn this over to you, Lord, and in your time, you make all things beautiful in your time. And you quote some song. Well, Lord, you know, and I give it to you, and Lord, if you want to help us, fine. If not, we understand, but we'll love you anyway, Lord. That all sounds really good. It's thoroughly unscriptural. Now, you don't love God based on what he does or doesn't do, but the fact of it is, here's what you're praying when you do that. Lord, I give this to you, and I know you're about to determine whether you love me enough to help me, or whether I've done enough to merit that you help me, or maybe if you're in a good mood today. Because you never know about God. Because maybe he's in a mood to do something good for you, and maybe he's not. Let's illustrate it this way. In the past tense concept and context of Scripture, how many of you have made Jesus the Lord of your life? Wave at me. Is that a good decision? Yes. When you accepted Christ into your heart, is that when God did something about your salvation? When did he purchase you? At the cross. Actually, the Bible said, in the mind of God, Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So when Christ died on the cross, buried, rose from the dead, you were purchased. But when you accepted or received Christ, you received eternal life. Now let's say everybody in this room, including me, none of us know Jesus. Somebody comes in, gives us the opportunity to accept Christ as the Lord of our life, and every one of us accept Jesus into our heart. If you talk about salvation the way everybody else deals, typically religion deals with answered prayer or receiving from God, here's what would have happened. We all would have raised our hand. We all would have asked Jesus into our heart. And here's what God would have done. Yes, yes, no, 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 not sure yet. You wait. In my time, I'll make all things beautiful. Yes, no, 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 yes, 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 no. Yes, no, yes. Last row. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Don't know, because I don't know my will yet. Now, how many of you know if all of us raise our hand to accept Jesus into our heart, the Bible said he turns no one away, we all get saved. But why is it we're so convinced when it comes to salvation? But everything else? Because we're not operating in faith in these other regards like we do with our salvation. Because the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. It's in the past tense. But you have to have a receiver to get it. Faith is that receiver of the provision of redemption. Faith is what is enabling you by the grace of God to receive what Jesus purchased in his death, burial, and resurrection. All right, I want you to listen real closely with me. Can you hear the Christmas music? I can't either. But you know right now in this room, Christmas music is all over this room. So, no, Pastor John, look, I know you're nuts, but you're really nuts now. Because the reason you can't hear it, you don't have a receiver. For example, I have my handy-dandy iPhone. And let me get on to my happy iPhone here. How many of you have heard of Pandora? No, it's actually an app. Pandora is like internet radio. Right now in this room, Michael Bublé. Oh, he's dreaming of a white Christmas, I think. Wait. Yeah, yeah. lip sync. Christmas music was in the room all the time. There wasn't a receiver to get it. Let's just listen for a while. It was here all along. Until someone had a receiver, we couldn't hear it. Faith is that receiver. It's already in the room. Jesus already purchased it. Listen to what Ephesians 2 verse 8 said. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourself. It is the gift of God. It is not of works. That way no one can boast. The Bible said faith excludes boasting. What's that mean? It means you will never, ever, I will never receive any, I mean a shoelace from God, that I'll be able to look to Him and say, God, you did that because of me. Because I prayed, or I gave, or I sacrificed, or I whatever. Everything you ever receive from God is an act of the grace and mercy of God, and my faith is in His grace and mercy and His work in Christ, not in me. And when you begin to understand that, that lets you know that God wants to work in your life right now, in the here and stinking rotten, right now, with anything going on in your life. Anybody here, if the light of the presence of the glory of an almighty God showed up right now and shone through my life and your life, anybody here would think like, ooh, not me, Jesus, give me a couple hours. How many of you like that light to just right now, just boom, and everything in your life just went on the wall for everyone to see? How many of you think, coming back next week, I'm leaving now? And I don't care who you are. When you talk about God, and then you talk about you, you would be ashamed and you would draw back. But what if I said this? All of that in my life, in your life, has been captured in the cross. In His death, burial, and resurrection, and He proclaimed you to be righteous. And He will empower you to live that righteousness out. And while you're walking it out, He's still your Father. He still loves you. He still redeemed you. And He still wants to operate in your life. You simply have to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight and receive the blessing of heaven just like you are. Say it out loud. Just like I am. Guys, people, we say that religiously. But so often, that's why people can't and won't receive from God. Because they have a reason that they always set up that tomorrow, the sun will come out. I'm sorry, it just happened in my head. I'm sorry, Annie's coming to the play. It's always tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. No, He's the God of the now. He's the God of the now for you. He wants to work right now in my life, in your life. Michelle, she said to me, I think it was this morning, or maybe it was last night. She said, you know, that was last night. She said, honey, let's start expecting more of the hand of God right now in our life. Let's start to have expecting more from God now in our life, in every area of our life, more of what He has for us. You and I have got to learn to be expectors. And it's so easy to just push God off into the future and just try to figure it out on your own. We have a Savior, that's so we don't have to do it on our own. Back in June or so, we had our impartation conference. And God did an amazing thing in the life of a young lady in our church, Heather Lipp. And I want you to hear her story and her testimony. It's just very brief. Because I want you to understand, we serve a living God who wants to move in people's lives right now. Take a look at this.
I first noticed a problem in high school whenever we had to run, every year you had to run a mile for gym class. And although I was physically fit and I was healthy, I could not run that mile. Like the pain in my feet was so bad, it would shoot like up my legs and into my back. After I had my daughter, the pain just got incredibly worse. It was so bad in my lower back that I couldn't sleep most nights. And I was trying to exercise just to get back in shape, and I could not walk or run without extreme pain in my feet. Well, first I realized that I needed to start praying and believing God for healing, because I went to the doctor, and other than orthotics, there was nothing that they could do for me. And for a long time I felt guilty asking for healing, because I knew of other people that had problems so much worse than mine. I felt like it was insignificant, you know. I was sort of ashamed to ask God for the healing. And then I realized it was the problems I had with my feet and my leg were stealing from me a good night's sleep and a healthy body and so many other things. And that's when I realized, you know, that I definitely needed to believe for that healing. So I prayed once and asked God for my healing, and I thanked him for it. And then I came to impartation expecting to receive healing for that. As we were doing the praise and worship, I had my eyes closed the whole time. But as I was worshiping, I just felt God speak to my heart, not in an audible voice, but I just felt him say, just like the woman with the issue of blood, stretch out your hand and be healed. And when I did that, I raised my hand up, and it was just moments later that Pastor Keith Moore laid hands on my head. I didn't even know, because I was in the back of the church. I was like four rows from the back, and I was really surprised. But he laid hands on my head, and I felt the presence of God so strongly I couldn't stand, and I sat down on my chair. And when I sat down, I felt something move inside my knee. It almost felt like something was separating, and then a stretching feeling from my knee down to my ankle. I knew my left leg was growing. And I also felt a tingling in my feet, and when the tingling started to go away, I felt arches forming. And when I stood back up again, I could feel that my legs were the same length. For a long time, I had mentioned before that I bent my right leg to accommodate the left one, so I always stood with that leg bent. When I stood up, both my legs were straight.
My left leg was a half an inch shorter than my right leg, and it was causing a lot of problems with my back. And when you laid your hands on me, I felt my leg grow.
And these are happy tears. Happy tears. Happy tears. Let me see you move around a little bit. Now you can dance evenly. Huh? Yeah, with no pain. The Lord loves you. He did that just for you.
When I went home, my daughter has this like bathtub paint that's like soap, colored soap. So I put it on the bottoms of my feet and stepped onto paper just to see if I could see the arches there. And I could. I saw there was an arch that had formed in both my feet. The next morning, I was so excited to get up and to try running on the treadmill. And for the first time in my life, I ran without any pain at all. So I've run every other day since impartation. I'm up to 3 miles a day now, and I'm looking forward to trying my first 5K next month. I just learned through all of this that no problem is too big or too small or too insignificant for God. He cares about everything that matters to us.
Isn't that awesome? Faithful God. You know, and I have flat feet, so I know when you get out of water and you walk, it's like a duck. Plop, plop, plop. And I've watched you people with those arches walking, and it's like there's just two spots and this little thing on the side. So I saw that. That's amazing. Isn't it amazing God would do that for somebody? She, by faith, received before she saw anything, and she obtained a miracle from a living God. See, it's so easy to say, well, I'm so glad God did that for her. You might be a skeptic, or in other words, a fool, and doubt that God can do those kind of things. Can I ask you this? Don't wait to die to find out you were wrong. Don't wait to die to find out that your head was full of stupidity and that you were doubting a living God who died on a cross because he loves you so much. Don't do that. And Heather, it was a tremendous story. Wanted you to hear it. The fact of it is this, guys. Grace is God's goodness. It's His mercy, His favor toward us. And we've done nothing to deserve it or merit it. But faith is our response to that. Faith is our response to the established will of God that His mercy, grace, and kindness provided when He sent Christ to pay the price for my debt. Faith simply believes the goodness of God in every area, in every arena of life. Guys, faith must be exercised in order to appropriate the provisions of God's grace. You can't just say, Lord, it's in your time. You have got to learn to be aggressive by faith. You have got to learn what the Bible says is to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life where you've been called. There's an aggression. There's a posture of aggression of faith in the heart of a believer. Because God's not your problem. God isn't sending problems into your life to teach you. You have an enemy that wants to destroy you. If you think God's your problem, how can He be your answer? Jesus said it's impossible. He said, a house divided against itself can't stand. How can you go to a God to help you when you think He's your problem? Well, the Lord put this on me for a reason. What reason? Would you do that to your kid? Well, no, I love my kid. Oh, I understand. You love your children more than God loves His. No, it's just God's ways are higher than my ways. You quoted that scripture, but incorrectly. The Bible said, let the wicked man forsake his ways. Let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. For my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. It's wicked to do harm to your child. And if anybody's ever had a wicked thought like that, it's human beings, not God. He's not the source of our problem. He's our answer. He purchased this. And there needs to be a posture of faith. Faith receives the provisions of grace in the now. And you proclaim it's yours and you walk by faith and not by sight. That's what the life of faith is. One of the Bible examples of this, in fact, the Bible tells us to actually follow the steps of the faith of a certain person. In Romans 4, it gives us the story of a man named Abraham and his wife Sarah. Actually, their names by birth were Abram and Sarai. And we're told in Romans chapter 4 and verse 12 that we are called to follow their steps of faith. Now, if the Bible tells us to follow the steps of faith of Abraham and doesn't make clear or delineate what those steps are, then God would be unjust. And if God tells me to walk out certain steps, then I can do it. And so there was this older couple. He was actually 99 and she was 90. And they had never had children. Sarah, the Bible said she was called barren. In their childbearing years, she could never conceive a child. And now she's postmenopausal, and it is impossible now for her to conceive. In fact, the Bible said, reproductively speaking, both she and Abraham were dead. Now, if you've ever had a reason to give up, how's that one? And yet God came into their life and gave them a promise. And He made a covenant with Abraham, and He said, walk before me in Genesis 17 and be upright. And God began to share what He would be to him. And then He said, I'll be this to you and I'll be that to you. Then He said this, and I will make you the father of many nations and your wife Sarah will conceive. And then literally you could see, can you imagine? You're in your 90s and your wife's in her, 89 and God's telling you you're going to have a baby. I mean, come on, that's crazy. But God's promise came to them and it came by the grace of God. So that it might be made available to everyone. Now listen to Romans 4, verse 16. This is God speaking to Abraham. He said this, therefore the promise, this is in their case, the child, the promise comes by faith, so that it might be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Say out loud, I'm Abraham's offspring. Because you are. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Abraham is the father of us all. God is saying, Abraham, I'm making you a promise. But the promise is not going to be by your works. The promise is going to come to you by faith. And listen to this interesting thing. He said, the promise must be by grace, because if it isn't, it will not be guaranteed to all the seed, to all of Abraham's descendants. So I'm not Jewish. The Bible said if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. And you are an heir according to the promise. But he said God's grace guarantees the promise to all. Why? Because if the promise came via works or via what we do, then it would not be guaranteed to all. Many would be disqualified. In fact, if the promise came by the works of the law, let me tell you how many would be qualified who have ever lived on planet Earth instead of Jesus. Zero. But because the promise came by the goodness of God and not by what I deserve, he said, now this promise, Abraham, that I've left to you is available to everybody. And this promise, listen, the promises of God are available to you because they're in Christ. And when you walk with Jesus, every one of those promises toward you are yes and amen. And by faith, you can begin to walk in them. Then God begins to reveal how he deals with men in regards to his promise. He did something very interesting. He declared something over Abraham in the past tense. It contradicted everything you saw. He spoke to an old man and an old woman, a woman who was called barren, and said this, I have made you a father of many nations. God said something in the past tense when nothing in the circumstance agreed with it. Look at Romans 4, verse 17. This is referring to God's interaction with Abraham. He said, as it is written, God speaking to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him, that is Abraham, was in the presence of him, the God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead, and the God that calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God's MO or modus operandi, the way God works, he calls things not present in my life as though they already were. And he asked us to agree with it. Now, I want you to understand, God said to this old man and old woman, I have made you a father of many nations, and yet they have no children. If you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to understand this is how God works. He declares something over your life, and you have to make the decision of whether you're going to agree with it or not. God commands over our life in his word. He calls us blessed when we may not look like we're blessed. He says we have favor when we may look like we've had no favor. Do you know that God's word says wonderful things over your life and my life? And that we have learned in life to just kind of, we take the faith equation out and we say things like this, Lord, if that's what you want to do, then do it. But if not, who am I? And we take our participation out. And the steps of faith that Abraham took show you that you are called to participate. Now, it's one thing for God to call something as it were, or something not present as it already were. It's another thing for me to do it. I mean, it's one, he's God. How many of you know when God said, light be, light was. God said, and it was. God said, and it. The Bible said, and we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which were made were not made by things which do appear. In other words, the invisible God created the visible that you see. What you stand on, every bit of substance in this room, fabricated by the things on this planet, were made by God. The chair you sit on was manufactured by men, but the raw products came from God. And you say, well, that chair's real. That chair will pass away. The God who made it is eternal. He'll never change. The eternal made the temporal, not the other way around. And then God did something amazing. He then commanded this Abram and Sarai to agree with him and begin to proclaim what God said over their life before they saw or felt anything. Listen here in Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, and then we're going to read verse 15. Listen to what God said to them. Genesis 17, verse 5. He said, no longer will you be called Abram. This is God in his prophecy to him. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 15, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Just one verse before this, God saying to Abram, and I will do this for you, and I will do that for you, and I will do this for you, and I will, future tense. And then he said, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. The word Abraham in Hebrew means a father of many nations. And when God said the word out of his mouth, Abraham, in the mind of God, it was done. And when God said it, he said, it's over. And now it's done in my mind, Abraham. You are now a father of many nations. And yet he's still 99 years old with a 90-year-old wife. And then he didn't stop there. He said, now for this young lady you married, Sarai, no longer will you call her Sarai. You call her Sarah because she is the mother of the prince. Nations will come out of her. So God didn't just call those things which were not present as though they were. He commanded Abraham and Sarah to do the same. You think, can I ask you anything more intentional than changing your name at 99? How often would you think he went, Abraham? How often he said, Sarah. I mean, you've been calling somebody Sarai for 40, 50 years. How many times do you think he intentionally, when she said, Abraham, oh, help me. How hard would it be to change your name? It's like Michelle says, okay, honey, from now on, call me Ruth. I'll be going, Michelle, Ruth. It was an intentional change. God commanded them to call themselves what God called them when nothing had changed. If you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to learn to say what God says about you. You're going to have to get the Word of God in your heart to persuasion, to where you act like the Word of God's true. You say what God says about you. If you're struggling in your marriage, now if your spouse isn't a Christian and they don't want to fight this battle through with you, I understand we can't control the will of another person. But if there are two people in this room that are Christians, and you're married, and your marriage is in the tanker, it can get out of the tanker. You want to know where it's going to start? By you believing the Word of God and stop talking nonsense. I can't tell you how many people I've dealt with through the years in marital trouble. You know who they find to talk to? Another person in marital trouble. And they go talk to their friend, and all men are idiots. My husband, your husband, my husband's stupid, you're stupider. Or a man finds women, or a bunch of guys, talks about his old lady. She's on my back. I can't, that broad's driving me nuts. Am I kidding? That's what people do when they're in trouble. Christians do it too. Or they go stupider yet and find someone of the opposite sex to share with. You're going to be sharing a whole lot more if you keep that up. You get that? Fellowship. I don't mean the kind that Jesus approves of. Why? Because you chose to talk about what you see instead of say what God says you are. So you have to start saying this. I can be the man God called me to be. Father, I thank you that I'm a good husband. Lord, I thank you for helping my wife. And for the woman to say, Lord, thank you for helping me to be a good wife. I help you bless my husband. So I speak well of him. Yeah, but you don't know my husband. Yeah, I don't know his wife. I imagine you're both pretty human. Yeah, but how about people talk about their kids? Oh, our kids this, our kids that, they're this bad. Guys, somebody better get in faith in these matters. And I don't know anybody on the planet who's going to have more capacity and tenacity than a mom and dad. Come on, man. I mean, we love our kids. You've got to learn how to take hold of the Word of God by faith and fight the good fight of faith and begin to talk like the Word of God's true. You can't run around talking about lack. Well, this is going bad. Look at the economy. You know, my job's going to do this. You've got to say, let God be true and every man a liar. Let my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you that's true no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what my checkbook's feeling. I say what you say about me. Nothing ever goes right for me. I'll tell you what. I take two steps forward, get five steps back. I get something paid off, it breaks. You watch. We're about to pay the car off. I guarantee you something will break in a month. you prophet, you. And then when it does, you go tell everybody. I told you it'd break. I told you. Woohoo! I got to spend $1,500. Woohoo! Look, I was right. That's stupid. Why not say what God says about you? He blesses all the work of my hands. He gives me favor. You know what favor is? People treating you better than you deserve. Boy, how many of y'all need some of that stuff? I say it all the time. I have favor with my wife. Because she treats me better than I deserve. Okay, well, that didn't go over well. You've got to talk this way. Tell your kids every day of the world. You have favor every day of the world. My kids, I see them. I tell my son now over the phone, give me a moment. He's coming back on Friday. Thank you, Jesus. He will be home for Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. All will be good in the world on Friday night with three kids sleeping in our house and wake up Saturday morning and go peek in their rooms and his bed will be filled for years. Thousands of times. You have favor. People treat you better than you deserve. Expect favor. Expect favor. Expect favor. So do they expect it? That's going to be their decision. But I promise you this. It will be their choice to agree with God. And we need, oh man, favor from God. You and I have a decision to make. We're either going to be governed by what we see, or we're going to be governed by what the Word says. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. As we wind this up. The Bible said about Abraham and Sarah, against all hope. Have you ever been there in life? Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. So without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Everyone say he faced the fact. So we don't deny reality. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver or stagger through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. He didn't deny reality. He said, but I have hope in a living God. I have hope in the faithfulness of my God. The Bible says in Hebrews about Sarah's faith, she received strength to conceive because she judged God faithful. Most people think they can walk by faith if they can judge themselves faithful. That'll mess you up. You're going to walk in faith toward God. You've got to use it all toward Him. Father, I judge you faithful. And the Bible said he faced the fact. And yet he did not let the fact that his body and his wife's body reproductively being dead was not something to compare to the faithfulness of God. You see, the Scripture tells us that God's faithful. And I know He's been faithful in my life. And walking by faith is when you operate in the faithfulness of God and trust Him no matter what circumstances are saying. Look at Galatians 3:29. We'll close here. And if you belong to Christ, how many of you do? Then are you Abraham's seed, and you are an heir according to the promise. Or if you belong to Christ, then you are indeed Abraham's children. The promised inheritance is yours. Say it out loud. It's mine. So how do you get it from that realm into your life? By faith, through the grace and by the grace of God. Let me close with this little story. Now, my background is such that my grandparents and we're all immigrants from just second, third generation American, depending on which one came over when. And so they're immigrants. They had money to get to America. So when they died, they didn't leave stuff. So when people in my family tree die, they don't leave you stuff. Because they don't have stuff. They just, man, now they're giving their kids better opportunities. But I've met people, had loved ones die, left them a pile of money. Now, you know, if someone leaves you a pile of money, it softens the blow a little. Just kidding. If you didn't, let's just say it's someone you don't know. How about we'll say Uncle Fred. You didn't know Uncle Fred well because the family was afraid to let you around Uncle Fred. He was kind of crazy. And you know, Uncle Fred never got married because he was kind of crazy. And Uncle Fred died. You get a letter in the mail. Uncle Fred had about $10 million. Uncle Fred left you half of it. This is your crazy uncle. And you got the letter in the mail. Uncle Fred's dead. Oh, I'm so sorry. Kinda. I didn't know him real well, but woo, Uncle Fred left me. He left me $5 million. How many of you start making plans? First thing you do is what? Pay your tithe. That's what the Bible teaches. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. So you'd write your tithe check, wouldn't you? Sure you would. And so now you've got you $4,500,000 left. It's yours, man. It's sitting right there. How many of you are thinking your vacation's a little bit different this summer? How many of you are thinking, okay, Presque Isle, we're going to drive up for the day in the Erie. I like Presque Isle, but I'm thinking we might just go to another isle. Yeah, let's take us one of those three-week vacations. See, $4.5 million, I'm at a certain age. I was going to retire in 5-6 years. Guess what? Now I'm going to retire in 6 more hours. Because you are making plans based on the faithfulness of a crazy dead uncle. Because an uncle left you something, you make plans. We have been left an inheritance, the Bible said, undefiled by the death, burial, and resurrection of a Savior. And if we've ever had confidence in anything, start making you some plans based on the faithfulness of God. I can tell you this, 19 years ago in October, we stood up in front of 33 people and said, the day will come when this church will touch thousands and we'll build a great facility that will seat thousands. And we were saying that because we knew God called us to it, and God has been faithful. See, why did you say that? Did you think because you had great faith? No, because I have a faithful God. And now 19 years later, we are 6 months plus from getting into that very thing we talked about 19 years ago. God is faithful. And if you'll walk by faith and not by sight, you will see His faithfulness. Look, He doesn't settle up the second Saturday of every month. But let me tell you something about God. He's faithful. He is faithful. And you can trust Him. Now I want to encourage you. This Wednesday night, we're going to continue talking about faith to receive. And we'll go into greater depth and detail. So if you can make it these Wednesdays, I really encourage you to come. We'll be in the presence of God, wait in His presence. Believe God for the manifestation of His power. We're going to talk about receiving from God more on this Wednesday night. So I'm believing God over your life. I want to pray for you today as we just yield to Him and pray that everyone here also knows Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your great grace that's upon every one of us because of Your great love, Your great kindness, and Your great mercy. Lord, I ask You today, that no matter how people may have come into this room today, that they would not leave here discouraged, that they would not leave here running from You or running from Your goodness and mercy in their life. So, Father, I ask You with for every person here under the sound of My voice, that You would do something great in their soul today, that where hopelessness is settled in and giving up has become the default mode, that we'd let that go and we'd look to Your faithfulness and, like Sarah, receive strength. And Lord, I thank You that You are faithful. And I speak the blessing of our God over every person in this room. And I thank You, Lord, that we will by faith reach and receive from You because You are faithful. His head remains, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Christ. That is, if you died right now, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. If your forever started today, where would you go? Jesus said there's a heaven. Jesus said there's a hell. Jesus said it. When we die, we go to one or the other. He said, well, I sure hope I'd go to heaven. Hoping won't get you there. So, Pastor, I'm a pretty good person. I think if God weighs out all the people on planet Earth, I'd probably come on the good side of the scale. So I hope I'm good enough. You aren't. Well, I'm a member of a church. That's great. But being a member of a church won't make you a Christian, including this church. Well, I've received the sacraments of a church. That's wonderful. But no sacrament of any church, including this one, will make you a Christian. No church, no pastor, no priest, no anyone, no imam, no religious whoever, whatever, can make you right with God, only Jesus. If you're not certain that you've ever given your life to the One who gave His life for you, then today you can accept Christ into your heart. And all those things I include, this church included, only Jesus can make you right with God. Have you ever given your life to the one who gave his life for you? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd say, Pastor, please include me in a prayer to invite Christ in my heart. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Right where you're at, I'll include you in that prayer. Would you lift your hand up real high right now and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Thank you. If you can put your hands back down. Thank you. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, include me with those many that have raised their hand. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Thank you, honey. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. I want to make certain. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. If you raised your hand or you should have, thank you so much. God bless you. If you raised your hand or you should have, right where you're seated, if you should have, just pray this prayer with me. The whole church will pray it out loud together with you. Christ will come into your heart. He'll never leave you or forsake you. When we finish this prayer, please don't get up and leave real quick. Just have a few more things to share with you. We'll be on our way. Get you home in time for the Steeler game, okay? But just right now where you're seated, the most important decision in someone's life to make Christ the Lord of their life. If you raised your hand, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. In Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am now heaven bound. And I boldly confess, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.